You are listening to CPA Career Path Podcast with Rosie Flaherty, a CPA and MSA. This is episode number 4, My CPA Journey with Steve Williams, a partner in charge of the office in Thurston at Eid Bailly. For anyone who hasn't listened to the episode number 3, I have Steve introduce himself again.
Hi, Rosie. I'm Steve Williams. I'm a partner here in charge of the office in Thurston for Eid Bailly.
You go through so many years in being as a CPA. So what if you can say the best thing about CPA, what it could be?
The best thing about the CPA, that's a great question because there's probably a number of good things about it. And then obviously there's some challenges with it. We've got a busy season, so that's a challenge. Although for some people, they thrive on the busy season. I get it. I think for me, and again, the majority of my time is spent with physicians because I started up and work in the healthcare side of the practice that we have here. So I get to work with physicians that are really intelligent people. And I find that that's rewarding because we have an opportunity to make a difference in their practice. I don't practice medicine, and you don't want me to prescribe anything for you or tell you to take 2 Advil and go to bed or whatever it is. But I enjoy working with the practices and helping them figure out the financial side of things. We work a lot with, you know, do they add another physician or value of the practice, and a lot of things there that are kind of unrelated to income tax or certainly unrelated to financial statement stuff. So I find that rewarding to be able to help them. I love the flexibility, like I've mentioned before. We work a lot of hours, but they can be kind of on your own terms, which for me is more important than working less hours, but having a strict schedule of clocking in and clocking out. I think that clearly the financial rewards in public accounting are there. The compensation level for new staff, our younger staff, our managers, our partners, the financial rewards are pretty significant. And so public accounting is a really interesting profession for me, because I think the thing that occurs to me is that you can come from modest beginnings, and if you go to school and you pass the exam and you put in the effort, you can raise your standard of living from wherever you started to something different. And I think I see that over and over again with our partners and our managers and our staff, where some of them have come from humble beginnings and have been able to lift themselves up above wherever. I mean, if you talk to most partners, I'm going to guess, in today's CPA firms, you're going to find that most of them never dreamed that they would get the financial rewards that they're getting today.
Yes. I like the answer. It seems like a very bright future ahead of me.
I hope so.
So you mentioned about the best thing. How about the most challenging as being a CPA?
Well, I think, again, I go back to the deadlines. You know, we are a deadline-oriented business, and it's not just April 15th. There's quite a number of deadlines that we're up against. And even in the audit world, you've got deadlines placed upon you by financial institutions that want the financial statements out by a certain period of time. So that can be stressful, particularly leading up to deadlines. The answer to that is planning proactively and making sure that you're staying ahead of where you think things might be. We all from time to time have difficult clients. And so difficult clients can be a challenge. You got to figure out how you want to address certain clients. And today with an accounting firm, you don't have to take on every client that comes knocking at your door. You have choices. So you have the ability then to say no to certain clients and suggest that they might be better served somewhere else. But those can be stressful conversations, or, you know, if there's a mistake on an income tax return, you know, how do you communicate that to a client in a way that you let the client know that you're sorry, but, you know, you care about them, and everybody makes mistakes and that. So some of those conversations can be difficult.
Yes. Could you provide one example that you had a very difficult conversation with a client?
So a number of conversations that can be difficult with clients, and we don't make a lot of mistakes, fortunately. So it's not really that necessarily, but more of the difficult conversations revolve around billing issues where, you know, the client gets a bill for an amount that they weren't expecting, or it's higher than what they thought it was going to be, or they have a question about a bill. And it's really quite interesting because particularly in today's environment where you've got a 9% rate of inflation, everybody's bills everywhere are going up, and accounting fees are going to go up as well, but everything's going up. But those sometimes can hit certain hot buttons for clients. And it's interesting because the clients, it's not that they don't have the resources to pay in most cases. Sometimes they don't understand. Sometimes they don't understand the extra work that might have been done, either on a tax return or some planning engagements that you might have done. I remember going to a practice management course early on in my career, and the instructor's comments were, after you do your billing, if you don't get 5 calls of clients that are suggesting that you might have billed them too much, he said his point was, you didn't bill enough. So you should bill and expect clients to not like the bills sometimes. But we're CPAs. We don't like the conflict. We don't like to deal with that. So our tendency is to not bill enough because we don't want the calls. But the reality is that we provide a lot of value to clients, and our partners and managers who do the billing need to think about that when they send out the bills.
That's true. Oh my gosh. 5 clients don't call you, it means you underbill them?
Means you underbill in general, right? You might not get calls from the same 5 clients, but if you're billing aggressively, then you're going to get calls.
So 5 out of how many clients?
Oh, you might have 100 or 200 that you're billing.
Oh, I thought 5 out of like 15 or 20. That would be percent.
No.
Okay, so it's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
And as being being a tax planner, you know that we all know that like tax, we have a lot of new regulations all the time. How could you keep up with all those new regulations?
Well, it's not easy for sure. One of the advantages of having experience is that you're building on top. So a new law comes out and you already have a pretty good perspective of the old laws that are there. So you're not trying to learn the old as well as learning the new. The fact of the matter for me is that I've got a great tax department that I can lean on. at the place where I am in my career, I know about the new laws, and some of them I will dig deeper in than others, but there are certain areas where I will rely on our expertise with our tax staff here to fill in the details and get it right.
Okay.
I know generally how it should come out.
Yes. And so because you have been in accounting for so many years, you can see the change in accounting over time. And how do you think about all those trends? You think is that for better, or is like challenging, or is like not as good as you would expect?
So I mentioned that when I first joined the firm, I was able to do audits and accounting and tax and all that stuff. I did pension returns in my early years. I can't imagine trying to be a sole practitioner today or in a very small firm, trying to do it all. There's way more coming at you today than there was when I first got into public accounting, both on the tax side and on the audit side. And so to be an expert in all of that, it just seems like it's overwhelming. I get it that there are people out there that do that. Even within our practice, you know, we've got people that specialize in partnerships and specialize in S-corps and specialize in individuals and specialize in audits or reviews or and then you get into industries. We've got real estate, and we've got healthcare, and we've got construction, and we've got high income, high net worth folks. And so it's really hard, I think, in today's world to really be an expert at everything. And so one of the things that our firm is talking about, certainly at the partner level, but it'll go down to the manager level as well, is you need to be really good in something. And they're calling it a major and a minor. So you got to have a major in something, and then you can have a minor in some other things. But you know, the clients today, they want to know that you understand their business. And so, whereas when I joined the firm, you could be a generalist and you could know a little bit about a lot of things, and you're going to be right most of the time or all the time. Today, I think it's just harder. I think the world is more complex. Certainly today than it was when I first joined public accounting.
Wow. And so does that mean you have different expectations on staff?
So from a staff perspective, you know, our staff here are going to get experience in real estate and construction and healthcare and high income and a variety of different tax issues. Eventually, the staff will kind of decide what it is that they like to do. You know, we've got people that gravitate towards real estate because they like real estate. They want to learn about real estate. Maybe they want to own rental properties. We've got a lot of clients that own rental properties. So we've got some of our staff will gravitate towards healthcare because, well, they didn't study to become a doctor, but it's a way to get into kind of being a part of that culture, if you will. And so I think that our staff are going to gravitate to different, whether it's industries or whether it's service lines. I think that our staff are going to gravitate towards areas that they enjoy. And we would prefer them to find an area that they enjoy and that they're passionate about, because then I think, you know, we in public accounting, one of the things that I tell people this, I would have done anything to get away from doing an oral book report when I was younger. Give me a 10-page report that I could write, and I would do that. And, you know, we've got this kind of, I don't know, sense about this industry that we are bean counters and just give us the numbers and we'll put them someplace. And as long as we don't have to talk to people, you know, we're happy. I think the reality of the world today is that we need to be able to communicate with people. And so I think that those are going to be the important characteristics of successful accountants in the future, of taking the details, which are in a financial form, whether it's a tax return or a financial statement, and communicating a story to a client that the client can understand. And that's going to take more than just being really, really technical. We need to be technical for sure. But we also need to be communicators. And I think that going forward, I think the successful accountants are going to have a combination of both of those. You know, if you're real salesy, nobody wants to do that. But if you really come at it from a mindset of, hey, client, I'm interested in your business. I'm interested in helping you. Here's the tools that we have available, and here's what we can do to get you to where you want to be. Then you're not really selling somebody something. You're helping them meet their needs and fulfill their dreams. And I think that that's where we're going to be successful in the future. I think that's where we're successful today, but I think that's where we're going to be successful in the future.
So we talk a lot about CPA career, and you did mention about that, about being flexible, that you still can work, and then you still can go out and then spend time with your kids. And so now my next question for you, it is, can you share with us, share with me or share with people who are listening to this conversation, this interview, how do you manage your work-life balance?
So for me, so where I'm at in my life today is we have five children and three of them are married. And so we have eight grandchildren as well. So for me today, I'm not out on the soccer field with my own kids, but I do still do a lot of stuff with the grandkids. And so particularly in the summer, so we find that the grandkids all end up at our house generally on Fridays in the summer. So I like the flexibility of being able to leave the, I'll come in early, I'll leave the office at some point on a Friday and go home and spend the afternoon in the swimming pool with the grandkids. That's one way that we do it. One of the other things that we do is with the firm here, we've got kind of an outdoor adventure that we have put together, and it's called the Death March. And we've done it, this year will be the 44th year. That outdoor adventure was backpacking initially, and it's morphed into, we've done 44 trips. This will be 44. There was one or two years. We lost a year to the pandemic, and we lost a year when there was a fire in Big Sur where we had reservations there. But we've been to most of the states in the Western United States. I've been to the bottom of the Grand Canyon five times, river rafting in it twice. This year we're going up to Sequoia National Park. We've been to Hawaii with this trip. We've been up into Canada several times with this trip. We have been to Oregon several times. We've been river rafting. We've done all kinds of things. And so I started off doing that the first year, three years maybe. I would do it by myself with the other guys that went on the trip. And then I started taking my kids on this trip. So all of my kids have been on these trips, not every year, but, and so this year I've got all of my kids and all my grandkids are going, and we're doing a trip to Sequoia and we're hiking into a backcountry camp there. And so, this has been a great run for me. The family time has been great. And again, it's not that I work like less hours. It's just kind of the timing of when you work. So, you know, making myself available when the family is available makes a big difference. I've been fortunate that my wife worked quite a bit as well, but there were certain times when she didn't work, when the kids were younger, and so she was able to be home, and then she taught some school for a while, so she was at the school with the kids, and so that all worked out fine. But I don't know. Although I will say this, none of my five kids wanted to go into public accounting. So, I've got a kid that does computer consulting. I've got another one that owns a dance studio. I've got another one that's a school teacher, physical education school teacher working with kids that have physical challenges. I've got another kid that her dream job is being a swim coach and that kind of stuff. And so anyway, it's none of them really followed in my footsteps to become a CPA.
Is that because they saw you work so hard in the past and they didn't want to follow it?
No, I don't think so. I think it's because they had other passions in life that they wanted to do. And it wasn't math and it wasn't accounting.
At this time, you are at like the happiest level in your life because you in the panel, you have the family, you have kids and your grandkids. I want to go back when you were early 30s, when you just like still challenging at that time with finance and then with the small kids growing up. At that time, it's just like more difficult. How did you balance your life at that time?
Well, like I said, I was fortunate my wife didn't have to work. The way that the firm worked at that point in time was for extra hours that you worked during busy season, then there was a bonus that the firm paid. So it wasn't built into your base comp, which is what we tend to do now. The base comp was much lower. And then there was a bonus based on kind of your efforts during busy time. So those were bonus checks that we always looked forward to kind of tide us over, if you will. But yeah, I mean, it's our kids would have been younger. They would have been in school. But still, I think that I still enjoyed what I was doing and still got to spend a lot of time with the kids with their activities that they were doing.
Oh, back so, then, even back then when they were
back
little.
Then,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah. So I spent a lot of time with, I coached. So that forced me to spend time with the kids. I've got a daughter that didn't play sports. She's a dancer. So she had a commitment. She did a lot of dancing. So I would drive back and forth for her dance and stuff. So there were times that you would spend with the kids even while they were doing their own activities and stuff.
Help me walk through this one, because my husband and I, we are a young couple.
Yes.
We got a house and we just have a dog. We don't even have kids yet.
Yes.
And we don't feel like we don't have enough time per day. We don't have time to go out. We don't have time to do anything fun. And then we're like, how can we handle if we have kids? And we both working full-time job right now. And so help me understand, how could you and your wife, you have five kids.
Five kids.
Yes. Going through that.
Yeah, so our five kids are spread 20 years apart from the oldest to the youngest. So
okay.
we had our first two children, and then we started doing foster care.
Oh.
And so from that point on, we have adopted three additional daughters. So three of our children are adopted. And during the time we were doing foster care, we would have had nine children go through our home at that time. So we had our two kids, and then we took in other kids as well. So, you know, here's the thing. You find a way to do it. You make time. My father told me once, he said, Steve, he said, the whole system's goofed up. He says, you know, he says, when you're young and you need lots of money to raise a family, you're not making quite as much money. And when you're older and the kids are out, that's when you're making your money. He says it's all backwards. Well, the fact of the matter is it is what it is, right? I mean, it just is what it is. But I think you find a way to do it. I mean, it's just like going to college and doing whatever you did. You find a way to make it happen. If it's important to you, you'll find a way. So if you want to have kids, you're going to find a way to do it, and you're going to make it happen. It's not just public accounting where we do that. It's everywhere. I mean, I've got a daughter who teaches school, and she just had another, she's on her second kid now, 6 months old. They find a way to do it. They've got a couple of dogs and a house, and they each have a job, and they find a way to do it. I don't think we're any different being in public accounting. And I think actually, we probably, because of the investment that everybody's made, I mean, okay, so you make an investment in your school, and today you've got to go 5 years to school instead of 4 years, okay? I only had to go four. So then you're making an investment in studying for the CPA exam, and then you're all stressed out about taking the exam and whether they're going to pass it or not, right? And then for me, it was after you passed the exam, now you got to work for 2 years in a CPA firm to get your license, and you have to sign off and all of that kind of stuff. You know what? I don't know that having a family or doing the other fun stuff is any different from all of that kind of stuff. I think that those characteristics that you develop along that journey, regardless of whether you're at my stage of life or your stage of life, you've made an investment. You have invested a lot of time and effort and blood, sweat, and tears and money and all of that into it. You're just going to continue to do that. But it's an investment that you're going to make for the rest of your life, Because in our profession, you can't ever just check out and stop learning.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, we've got 40 hours every year of continuing education that we've got to keep. And so we actually end up doing more than that. So you're continually learning. You're continually growing. And challenges change. And like you alluded to before, tax laws change and all of that stuff. So to remain relevant in what we're doing, you have to continue to invest. I don't know. It's all part of life. I don't think is it easy? It's probably not easy, but is it worth it? It's absolutely worth it. Whether it's a family or whether it's buying a house or whether it's getting your CPA license or any of that stuff, you're going to find that the rewards certainly outweigh the cost of what it took you to achieve those goals.
Yes. We just need to make it happen. It's what it is. I absolutely agree with you. Yes.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it doesn't matter which stage in your life you are in, you always find a ways to balance it out. You always find a ways to be happy and then to be like enjoy your life. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, I think that's true. I think that all along it's been rewarding for me. I've enjoyed it. You know, happy, certainly most of the time, overwhelming portion of the time. Is it without challenges? No, there's challenges in what we do, but there's challenges in life just in general. And so, you know, you take them as they come and keep moving ahead.
Yes, and so last but not least, before we finish this interview, I would like to know if you can say a few things to young CPAs or young accountants who are going to be a CPA out there about this CPA career. What would you say?
Well, I think it's a great career, as I've mentioned. I think the flexibility is good. I think the financial rewards are good. I think it allows you an opportunity to interact with a lot of really interesting people. I think that I would challenge the young people today. And again, if you think back, the last 2 years has been quite an interesting ride. And it's changed the way that not just CPAs have looked at how they do business, but everywhere. Unless you have to physically be present at your job, the remote environment we couldn't have gotten where we are today without it, right? But I think that we have to be careful with that, because so much of what we do is, again, like I'd mentioned before, based on personal interaction. Okay, well, I would much rather talk to people face to face than on a Teams meeting. Can we do it on a Teams meeting? Absolutely. But the communication, I think, is much better when you're face to face. I think you can read the people a little bit better. We've got clients that want to be face to face. We've got clients that are happy to do it over Teams, but we've got clients that want the personal interaction. I think that if I were advising young people today, the thing that I would advise people is, while the remote can be good, I think you have to make sure that you are reaching out to your managers and your partners to create communication, to create a relationship, to let them know that you're there. It's so easy in today's world to, when you're not physically present, when I can't just holler to you outside my door or walk around the corner to your desk, it takes much more effort, I think, is what I'm saying. And so I think that I would suggest to our younger staff, while, and I get it, you know, people like to work remote, and particularly when gas prices are high like they are today, it doesn't seem so much to be about COVID anymore, but it seems to be about gas prices. But I think that we have to be careful that we don't lose the interaction, because if we lose the interaction between our partners and our managers and our staff, something's going to be missing. And in my career early on, like I'd mentioned, I had sat next to a partner that talked loudly. I think we underestimate the amount of knowledge that we pick up when we overhear conversations or pass someone in a hallway and just chat about an issue with a client, or walk into somebody's office and say, hey, you know what, I'm dealing with this. What do you think? And I think that we maybe risk not progressing as quickly as we might have otherwise done if we stay remote and we kind of put walls up around us, and we're doing our work, we're getting the numbers in the boxes, but there's so much more than just getting the right numbers in the boxes in what we do, and gaining the experience from those that are more experienced than we are. And you know, for those of us that are more experienced, reaching out, make sure that we're available and helping out the younger staff. I think it's a two-way street. I think that our partners and managers have to get better at reaching out. Nobody ever taught us how to do that. It just happened. On the flip side, I think our younger staff also need to be diligent about making sure that they let their managers and partners know that they're there, they're engaged, they're available, they're happy to help, they're looking for more opportunities and all of that. Because I think with the remote environment, it's so easy to just say, well, I'm done with what I'm doing, and that's kind of it.
That's true. Thank you so much. So this is just a bonus. I was able to have a chance to talk to Jerry, and was able to have a chance to talk to your huge fan. It's your assistant. And so I just want to share with you some comments that Jerry shared with me, that I was asked Jerry that if I can ask three best characteristics about you, what would he say? And I did ask his permission to share this one with you. So okay. He said that the three best characteristics from you, it is loyalty, integrity, and friendliness. So that's from Jerry. And then okay. From your assistant, it is from Marie,
right?
She just like admire you so much. She gave me 2 full page of notes about you.
Oh, no.
She says that you make her life so much easier. You're her best boss ever. Always smiles, always have a great work-life balance, very outgoing, very adventurous, and then always open to new ideas.
Thanks for sharing that with me, Ben.
Thank you so much for the interview today. A lot of great information, a lot of great tips and advice, and I hope people who are listening to this interview can learn a lot from your CPA journey.
Well, I hope to encourage them to go into public accounting and stay in public accounting and reap all of the benefits and rewards that public accounting has to offer. So thanks, Rosie.
Thank you.